let me step back. During the faith movement, the charismatic movement, there was so much teaching on faith. People began to believe God for themselves, to trust the word of God to be healed, to stand on the word and trust him for healing, for prosperity and all that. One of the things that happened during that movement was that there was not much emphasis on the body ministering to each other. It was all individual. I must trust God to get this. Now, as we move into the reality of our oneness, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in everybody, the charisma, and that what God wants to give to us often is delivered through the body to us, not just from between you and him, but through the body to each other, which proves our oneness is essential. Totally, absolutely essential. We cannot forsake the understanding. Just like my body is one thing, and every member is one part of the one thing. So I'm going to give you a quick, real quick, and then we're going to minister. We're going to let the Holy Spirit move through each of us because God wants that. I mean, we started the meeting with that this morning. Here's what we need to look at again. When Jesus prayed in John 17, and in verse 22, he said, "In the glory which you have given me, I have given them that they may be one, just as we are one." So our oneness is dependent upon the oneness of the Godhead. It is exactly the same. There is no difference, no disunity. They are not coming into agreement. They have always been in agreement. The word for one is the Greek word hice, H-I-C-E. It means one. In the Greek language, the Greek alphabet is also used for numbers. And if I said one, number one, I would use the word hice if I was speaking Greek, okay? Hice means one. You cannot change it. It means one. Now, when you go into Ephesians chapter 4, I'm doing this quick, but I know you're bright, and you'll grab this. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep," and then he says, keep the unity. He didn't say unity. He used the word, listen to me, it's a Greek word called, spelled H-E-N-O-T-E-S, henotes. Henotes comes from the word hais. So it's like this. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, then one becomes joyful, right? Two different words, but mean the same thing. Joy and joyful. One and oneness. You got it? One and oneness. So we are not called to come into unity. Say amen, please. I know you're all looking at me like, because we were taught that if you want to have some kind of collectivity and some unifying, you have to come to agreement. Here's what it says. Endeavoring to what? Keep. The oneness, forget unity. Cross that out in your Bible, write henotes, one. Okay, just to help you. Oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's okay that the Greek translation came out in 1611 with unity. They were able to select that word because, like so many words, there are shades of meaning and differentiations that can be applied, just like in our language. But it's oneness. Because if Jesus prayed that we would be one, he didn't say, "I pray that they come into unity like the Father and I have come into unity." The Father and the Son did not have to come into unity. They did not have to attain unity. They always were in unity. They were always one. Now, in America, if we want to achieve unity, we must come into agreement to do something. I've had pastors complain to me over the years. They said, it's terrible how we do things. He said, if we're going to hold a Billy Graham crusade, everybody will all of a sudden agree about everything. We'll get buses together, and we'll have committees, we'll have teams, we'll do this. We'll go to Hartford, we'll run the Coliseum. Blah, 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 blah. And everybody goes up there and collects a bunch of new believers and go back into their houses, and they don't see each other again. That's the kind of unity that the church has practiced. that the kind of oneness that God shows us is like the vision that I shared with you, that Jesus steps into the body and the body becomes one with him, and then all the bodies merge, and there's nothing from God's point of view but one body throughout the earth. One, one, one. The difference is this: you must attain to unity. You must work at getting there. But oneness only requires maintenance. Maintenance. That's why he says, if you will maintain these spiritual attributes that were in Jesus, you will always walk in the oneness that I have put in you. You are one. Now, how did we get to be one? Romans 12:13 says this: when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, without you seeing it or feeling it, took you and immersed you into one body. The whole body of Christ. I don't care if there is misunderstandings and different points of view about things within the body of Christ. We are still one body. Simple as that. Here's the one thing. Now get the picture. God took you by the Holy Spirit, plucked you up out of the earth from all the other nations and wickedness and stuff. He took you out of the domain of Satan. He took you out. He said, Satan doesn't have any right to this child anymore. Up and out. You were delivered from the dominion of darkness and plopped into the body of Christ. And you had nothing to say about it. Not a word, not a thought. You didn't come into agreement. And all of us in this room, we didn't agree with that. We may not even look at each other and say, well, how did you get here? I wouldn't have chosen you. Doesn't matter. You got it? We were just put in one body. And so we walk worthy of this calling. There's both an upward call to eternity with God, but there's an outward call that we have to walk worthy of, which is the fact that we maintain the oneness of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Then verse 4 of Ephesians 4 says, there is one body and only one body. Glory to God. It may be expressed in geography by looking at different congregations located different places, but that doesn't mean we're divided. The thing about our Christianity is that it's not logical and it's not reasonable. It's mystical. If you don't think it is, well, then you got to go back and read the parables. Jesus talked in mysteries, from which the word mystical comes. Mystical does not require logic or reason to be true or real. One of the reasons that the word mystery is so profound in the New Testament is that Christianity was birthed in a season in the history of the world when there were mystery religions. And the only way people could get into the religion was by getting a secret piece of information. There's all kinds of mystery religions. Jesus comes by and he says, let me teach you about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Overpowering the mystery religions. And he taught the parables. And then he told us that these things come to us by revelation of God. He enables us to understand them. So he in some ways, appealed to those who were in counterfeits. And the Apostle Paul speaks of mysteries too. He talks in Ephesians about the great mystery that the church is one with God, like a man and a woman are one with each other in marriage. He said, this is a great mystery. But just like reading a novel that's a mystery novel, we come to a place where we have a conclusion. We get the truth. It comes to us. It comes by the author. He downloads that into us by his Spirit. And it bursts alive inside of you. So, when you come together and pray, let's maintain the unity of the Spirit, meaning oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's maintain our oneness. I'm not picking at something like, well, he's just, you know, being nitpicky. No, I'm not. To achieve unity, you must start at this end and work towards the center. To maintain oneness, you just begin with what you are. two different directions, two different approaches. We are one. That's why each of us is so precious to all of us. Every one of us belongs to the one body, and that one body is connected to the one head who holds all things, and we look to the head for the life to flow through us. Just like in your life, where does all the direction to your body comes? Through the head. And the head, when we hold the head, Christ directs everything in us because he floods the body with himself. And you say amen. When Jesus went up into heaven, he sent back gifts, it says in Ephesians 4 again, verses 7. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. What he gave was himself, because Jesus was all that. Then he further tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 about gifts, graces, charismas, manifestations of the Spirit, as Brenda started out to teach us today. Everything is not separated from the head or the body. They are all contained in the body. And the fullness of him is filling us. And the more the fullness fills us, the more the effectiveness of the manifestations of the one Spirit that we are in and is in us flows through us. You got this, guys? Is this sinking in? It will. I know it will. I know it will. Because you are spirit beings full of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will teach you all things. Amen. Now, being full of the Holy Spirit, you one body, minister to yourself in love. So here's what I want to say to you. We'll go back and look at Rita's vision of Jesus with the ribbon, with the names that mean something to you, something that's deficient in your life. And she said, claim that. Jesus wants to give that to you. That's what he is to you. Now, some of what he is to you will come directly through your faith, but some of what he is to you is going to come directly through somebody else to you. Somebody's going to pray with you and release that gifting into your life this morning. Are you ready to do that? Yes? Who wants to start? Here's where we begin. We recognize each other. If you hurt, I hurt. If you have a need, I want to see if I could be part of the solution to it. Can you have that attitude? I know that you all came here this morning with something you're dealing with. Well, confess this to one another right now. Who needs something, like Rita said, here's that picture of Jesus. You want this desperately. You've been seeking it. Come on up here this morning. We'll begin with that. Whatever it is, come on up here and stand before the body. You don't have to confess it. Somebody's going to come up and pray with you and be the solution for you. Okay? Come on up here. Everybody who needs something from God. I'm going to get in this line as soon as I'm done. So I have things I want from God. So come on, don't be bashful. And we're going to begin to minister to one another, because God's delivery system, just like the human body, depends upon all the functions of the body, all the parts working together, building itself up in love. Amen. All right, we're going to give you some more time. Now, when we look at our brothers and sisters up here, God bless them. First thing I want you to recognize is you without them are incomplete, and they without you are incomplete. And so if they hurt, you hurt. If they need, you need. They have a concern, you have a concern. So open your heart to God with love for him and love for them. Say, God, I want to be available to my brothers and sisters. And then let the Holy Spirit direct you. And he will come in you right now. He will manifest in you, and you can go to these precious saints and begin to minister to them. All you have to do is ask him a question, and then watch how the Holy Spirit will begin to work through you. All right? Here they are. Don't forsake them. A couple more folks. God bless you guys. Full of the Holy Spirit.